Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So welcome back to week two of our sermon series called Pardon the Interruption, where what we're doing is exploring how sometimes interruptions are not just interruptions, but are actually divine invitations or opportunities where God is calling us to get involved in something bigger than ourselves. And so today, what I would like to show you as we continue on in this important series is how, according to God, children are not an interruption, but instead are the single greatest opportunity that God has blessed us with, where we get to play a significant part in helping to raise up the next generation of disciples. And to show you all of that, we need to first start with where children fit and how they were thought of in the ancient world. So, what you'll find when you do some digging regarding the place of children in the ancient world is that the way we do it today, the way we think today, is not even close to how the world worked back then. And that for both Jewish and Roman societies at that time, children were basically seen or considered to be property rather than individuals with rights. They had no power, influence, and on top of that, children were viewed as symbols of weakness and dependency. Or in a world that valued honor, status, and power, children were seen as weak, dependent, and vulnerable. Now, of course, parents in that time and place loved and cared for their children to a certain extent like we do today, doing everything they could to raise them well. But here's the thing that most modern people aren't aware of. You see, the child death rate at that time was so high due to disease, poor sanitation, malnutrition, and lack of health care that parents actually couldn't let themselves get too attached to their younger children. And the reason for this is because roughly 30 to 50% of all kids in that time and place didn't make it to the age of five. Did you guys hear that? 30 to 50% of all kids in that time and place didn't make it to the age of five. And of those who did, another 10 to 20 might not survive to see their 10th birthday, which means, on average, fewer than 50% of all kids would see their 10th birthday. Or, to feel this, think about all the kids who attend this church, which is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of around 50 when you count them all. Now imagine 50% or 25 of them not making it to the age of 10. Yeah, that was the norm in the ancient world. And so, of course, parents, as a kind of self-defense mechanism, couldn't allow themselves to get really, really close to their children, because if they did, every time one of their children died, which happened a lot, it would have crushed them, right? They wouldn't have been able to function. They wouldn't have been able to do what they need to do in an already hard life to continue to provide for the rest of their family. But here's the thing that will really blow your mind. One of my New Testament professors once told us that the common practice in the ancient Jewish world was not to name your children until they turned five. And the reason they did this is because naming a child made them a person with an identity, and it made it easier for you to connect to them. So to protect themselves, they wouldn't give their children a name until they turned 5 years old. I mean, can you even imagine living in a world like that? And by the way, this was the norm for far longer in the history of the world than what we are able to take for granted today, with most children, even those born with significant issues, being able to make it to the age of 10 and beyond. I mean, we've got one of your little ones over here had open heart surgery. We've got another one who had open heart surgery around 3 months. And guess what? They're doing great. I mean, we just see miracles all the time around here. But in the ancient world, that wasn't the case. You guys didn't know I was going to do the most depressing Mother's Day sermon series of all time, did you? And yet it is into the world, into that way of thinking, where Jesus comes to offer a new way of thinking about children. Mark begins in 10:13 through 16. He says, "People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. So this episode starts off simple with some parents of younger children bringing their kids to Jesus to be blessed, which in our minds, because of the way we think, seems pretty normal. Because of course, if Jesus, this well-known religious figure, happens to be traveling through your town, through your village, then why wouldn't you have your children blessed by someone of this kind of stature? And yet, we find that as the parents are blessing their children, or excuse me, as we find the parents bringing Jesus to bless the children, I can't talk today, I'm sorry. We find that as the parents are bringing their children to be blessed, this is how the disciples respond, which is really strange. The disciples rebuke them. The disciples rebuke them. Yeah, the disciples here are flat out warning these people not to bring their children to Jesus in a forceful kind of way. They're not being nice with any of this, which again, seems very strange to us. Why in the world would disciples try to keep people from coming to Jesus just to have their children blessed? It seems so simple. Well, that's why context matters. Because given the place of children in the ancient world, which we just talked about, what the disciples are doing through their rebuke is they are actually doing what they think is right. Because why in the world would someone as important as Jesus, with all that he has come to do and to accomplish for the sake of the world, take time to bless the children when they really don't matter? Or to think of it another way, the reason the disciples get so fired up about Jesus blessing the children is because they see it as a kind of interruption or something that is taking Jesus away from his important work of proclaiming the kingdom of God to those who matter. And yet Jesus responds like this to not only make sure that this never happens again, but to make sure that they get how children, regardless of how long they might live or where they fit in society, are never an interruption to God. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He was indignant. Or according to the Greek, Jesus comes back at the disciples with the same kind of force to which they rebuke the parents. Or here, Jesus is not just experiencing some mild irritation at what's going on. No, he's offended by what they're doing and lets them know that in a heated, forceful kind of way. Or let's just say, things got very uncomfortable for the disciples as Jesus begins to lay into them. He says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. And with that, I want you to notice how Jesus, through this simple act of blessing, is doing something revolutionary when it comes to where children fit in the ancient world. Ultimately trying to teach his disciples, along with the rest of the world by extension, just how important children are in God's eyes. Because even though this sounds normal to us, this sounds natural, in that time and place, Jesus, to a certain extent, is talking like an absolute crazy person, proclaiming to the world that not only are children important, but that children already belong to the kingdom of God. And even more than that, Jesus adds that children also act as an example regarding how we should live our lives in response to the kingdom. Or what Jesus is doing through this simple act of blessing children was not just offering a prayer to these kids and sending them on their way. No, it was a public act in which Jesus was proclaiming to kids everywhere, "You belong here. You are important. You matter to God, and God loves and cares for even you." And yet with that revolutionary move, that's not all Jesus has to say on the issue of children. Because a little later on in his ministry, when talking about who is the greatest in the kingdom of God, he says this in Matthew 18. He called the little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Yeah, that's right. What Jesus actually says in a time and in a place where children had no power, status, or place is what it looks like to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, or what it takes to be one of those people who gives themselves to serving God with everything that they are people humbling themselves to the status of children. And then if that's not enough, he goes on to say this, which is just mind-blowing. "And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And what it means to welcome a child in Jesus' name is to treat them in the same way Jesus treated everyone else, with love and dignity and grace and acceptance and respect and love. But here's the thing, when we do that, not only are we welcoming that child, but we're also welcoming the presence of Christ. Or somehow, when we love and care for children, we are also loving and caring for Jesus, because that's how much children matter to God. Or maybe for those of you who are teachers, or someone who's dedicated your life to serving children, you might want to memorize this verse to remind yourself of the importance of your work, or what's really going on when you give yourself to serving children, especially when it gets hard. Come on now. Think about how amazing that is. And this is something for mothers as well, right? When you give your life to serving your children, when you give your life to helping raise them up and raise them up well, what happens in those places is not just about raising up your children. It's also about ministering to Jesus. Somehow, mysteriously, Jesus, when you do that, you are ministering to him as well, because that's how important children are in the heart of God, which in turn is a point that is only made clear as Jesus closes with this violent warning. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Or for those of you who don't know what a millstone is, it was a wheel-shaped stone used for crushing olives and grinding grain into flour that could weigh anywhere from a couple of hundred pounds to well over 2,000 pounds. And notice, Jesus says large millstone. So imagine something that weighs 1,000 pounds wrapped around your neck. And so what Jesus is saying is it would be better for you to have this huge stone hung around your neck and for you to be thrown into the sea where you would sink like a rock to your certain death than to lead one of these children away from God. But to really understand the significance of what Jesus is doing for children, you need to get that in the history of the world, Jesus was one of the first people ever to stand up and fight for the rights of children by proclaiming to the world that God loves, cares for, and wants what's best for all of them, or that children are never an interruption or an inconvenience, but instead are always a priority. And so what I think all of that means for us today is that it is our job to take what Jesus taught about just how important children really are and to give ourselves to doing the difficult work of not just raising up our children, although that's number one, but it's also our job to stand and fight or to come alongside all children and our community in the world, because their lives matter too. We're parents. It is my belief that the single most important thing that God has given you to do in this life is not to make a lot of money or be successful chasing after your own dreams, although there's nothing wrong with that. But it's to give yourself to doing what you need to do to raise your children well by providing them with everything that they need to live into the extraordinary lives that God has created them for. And then to add to that, you've got to understand that the way children spell love, especially when they're younger, is not L-O-V-E, it's T-I-M-E, or it's time. Yeah, in one sense, the most important resource you can give your children is more of your time. Understanding that even though on occasion our children seem like an interruption, the truth is they're not. No, again, they're the most important ministry or job we have been given to do in our lives. Think about this for a moment, right? If all parents everywhere gave themselves to making children a priority, how much would that change the world in a generation? Right? How much would that change everything? And now, we don't live in a world that's like that. So what if instead of us just giving ourselves to our own children, what if we gave ourselves to helping others in need? How much would that make a difference in the world? Right? So children are not just an interruption. They're not just something we're doing for now so that when we retire, we've got someone to take care of us. Oh, children have to be a priority because they're the foundation of the world moving forward. And then beyond that, as a church, as we are called into our mission of cultivating kids, we have to make them a priority. We've got to continue to make them a priority, which we do not only by spending money in that area and giving our times in those areas, but by giving ourselves to doing what we can to meet children where they are, not where we are, to meet their needs, to help them understand in ways that they can understand, not just to expect them to come in and fit our mold. And to get how important this really is, not just for our church, but for churches everywhere, what you will find in those churches that have not made children and youth a priority, or that see children as a kind of interruption to big people church, yeah, what's happening in those churches is they're declining and dying at an alarming rate. Or how many of you guys have noticed as I'm doing sermons up here, you have children that make noise during the whole time? Anybody know what I'm talking about around here? How many of you have been to a church service where that doesn't exist? That means there's no children there. That is one of the most beautiful sounds that you can hear in church these days, and why we celebrate it and don't get mad about it. Right, we've got little Caspian over here making all sorts of noise for his mom on Mother's Day, and that's one of the best sounds that you can hear in a church because they matter and they belong here as well. That's meeting families and people where they are. And then beyond even that, when it comes to our communities, our state, and even the world, as Christians, we are called to be the kind of people who stand up and fight for the rights of children everywhere. Or we are being called to do what we can to make sure kids everywhere have everything they need to become the people and do the things that God created them to do. Or if you really want to get a picture of what God's heart's like when it comes to children, all you have to do is just look at a good mother. Look at how she shows up, how she sacrifices, how she listens and loves, how she holds her child when they're hurting and celebrates them when they soar. Yeah, that's the kind of love Jesus calls all of us to show, not just to our own kids, but to every child that we meet. Because the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, children are not interruptions. No, they are the mission. They are the calling because they are at the very heart of God. Let us pray. Father, as we continue this sermon series, learning the difference between interruptions and divine invitations, oh Lord, help us to see today very, very clearly that children are not interruptions, that children aren't inconvenient, but they're the very purpose and meaning that you have given us to help raise them up, to not only be great citizens of this world, Lord, but also to be your disciples, to have even more hands and feet out there living your love and your truth. So help us today, O Lord, understand, and even more than understand, to live it out, that children matter, and that we are a people who fight for them, who love them, who raise them up, and who even learn from them. Lord, we ask all of this in your name and for our sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless, and have a great week.